Next man up here on 102.5, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier in for you today. Jake Lyman off in Paris covering Vanderbilt women's basketball.
Oui, oui.
How was that? Was that good?
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
I'm not French, but that sounded French.
I've been working on it. Happy Friday. Happy Halloween, Nashville. Perhaps America's most overrated holiday. But happy Halloween regardless.
Really? You think it's overrated?
I've never been a Halloween guy.
Neither have I. I feel like it's more of an underrated holiday.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not into the party scene that much, and I think it's an excuse for people my age to go out and do party things.
Sure.
If that makes sense. Without getting into detail of what those things entail.
Adult candies.
I loved it when I was a kid because, you know, as a kid, you dress up, you go trick-or-treating, you get free food from strangers. Now, as an adult who doesn't really like to do that stuff, it's kind of just a night where I just let everything else in the world play out.
Let your hair down, mellow out.
Yeah, I'd say we could watch sports tonight, but we don't have access to that anymore. Thank you, YouTube TV.
Oh, I'm a cable guy. See, I
knew you would be a
again,
cable guy.
No, don't cut the cord, folks. Stick with your cable. It works.
You seem like a cable
Connor guy. And I will be over at your house this weekend.
Yeah, we'll
sure.
show up.
Just finished up the patio.
We'll show up. And it's a great slate of college football on Saturday. So
it kind of all starts tonight. Syracuse in North Carolina. Can Bill get his fourth win of the season?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Third.
That is certainly a game of all time. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership where the buzz is about great service. Kind of a cold open here because it is Halloween. What is the best Halloween candy, Nick Frazier?
Ooh, you really struck a chord with me there, Connor.
I know you are because you're a foodie.
It's got to be some form of a candy bar, like a Snickers or a...
See, everyone I keep asking says Snickers. I asked Chip Walters the other day, and he says Snickers.
It has different levels to it. You have the actual, the peanut inside there. You have the caramel, however you pronounce it. And you get the chocolate on the outside. That's perfect. Or go with a big Three Musketeers.
Oh, just underrated.
Underrated candy bar. I'm a Kit Kat guy. Twix, it was there for me, and it fell off, so I'd probably go top three would be Three Musketeers, Snickers, and Kit Kat.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh.
Elite. Here's what you do. You get the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, throw them in the freezer for about 10 minutes. Then, it's like ice cream. It's beautiful.
You're a freezer candy guy.
I love cold chocolate.
Interesting.
I don't know what it is. It just works for me. And then M&M's are, classic. Yeah, it's just, but I'm also, I'm a huge fan of chili on Halloween night, you know, chili dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the move. I think that's the move tonight as I'm going to be in the kitchen whipping that up.
Whipping up the chili.
Or my mom will, but we'll see. What's the best costume you've ever worn?
I dressed up as a homeless man one year.
That was yesterday.
No, well, it's kind of every day. No, I dressed up as a homeless man. I think I was 8. I was in second grade. A lot of stuff happened in 2006 for me. So
I was 2, so I don't really remember that.
Yeah. So, you know, I remember I had a cardboard sign that said, "We'll work for candy." And it was pretty funny. I had like a rolled up pant leg with, I think it was a black and blue shirt. It was pretty neat. Yeah, it was a well-designed costume by myself.
Yeah. I think mine would probably have to be, this was right when Tony Romo was dying. Like his last season with the Cowboys.
Falling off.
So I ended up wearing a Cowboys-esque jersey and just being a zombie. So I just said I was Tony Romo.
That works.
It was pretty funny. But most of mine were like, what's the newest superhero movie coming out that year? I'll be that, or Star Wars, or something like that, because I'm a nerd. But, yeah, that's how it ended up. I'll tell you what the worst candy is. Candy corn.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Not a candy corn guy.
No, okay.
Hate you both.
You like candy corn?
I love candy corn, especially when it's mixed with peanuts. Love it. I just polished some off last night, so.
You polished your candy corn?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
I like the ones that are shaped like the pumpkins. Those ones are okay.
Just too much sugar for me.
It's too sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Not a fan of that at all. Regardless, happy Halloween to everyone. And coming up at 9:45, I'll give you my irrational fear as it is Halloween. And you both are going to make massive fun of me. But it is going to be funny. We begin with the Tennessee Titans, unfortunately. I don't really want to talk about them today, but here we are. Well, first let me tell you what's going on through the show today. At 9:30, we're going to be joined by Vanderbilt women's soccer coach Darren Ambrose to talk about his season with us. Going to be a fun time there. And then at 10:30, our good buddy Trey Wallace, Outkick college football reporter, going to join us. Got a lot of college football topics to talk about. The coaching carousel. Who's going to land those LSU, Ole Miss. Who's going to land LSU, Penn State, Florida, all of these jobs open across the country, hopefully Kentucky soon. Big matchups this weekend. Tennessee and Oklahoma in a playoff eliminator, not playoff game. Corey Curtis kept saying playoff game, and it was driving me insane. I was like, it's a playoff eliminator. Playoff entails postseason. That's my TED Talk for the day.
Okay.
But that's it drove me crazy. Playoff eliminator. And then, of course, Vanderbilt on the road against Texas in a game I think they could win.
I'm with you.
No, I don't think they could beat the Tennessee Titans, like I heard your god-awful take a couple of days ago.
I know. And it kind of was brought up this morning on Robbie and Rex Road indirectly. I mean, I had to defend it a little bit. I'm so far into this hole that I've dug, I have to defend it now.
Sometimes you just got to fill some airtime.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not filling airtime for me. I kind of think with the current roster, we're not going to get into this. Never mind. I'm stopping right now. We're not getting into this. I'm just not going to do it.
It's okay. The text line's blowing up. Reese's is king.
Really?
In this town. You're damn right, pal. It's the best there is.
Just mix it with vanilla ice cream and you got yourself a fun treat.
The best there was, the best there ever will be. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. We begin with the Tennessee Titans today. I wanted to ask the question. Obviously, we know the head coaching story of the Tennessee Titans this year. Brian Callahan comes in, is terrible, gets fired. Mike McCoy is the interim right now. Is not looking good for him to retain that job. And we didn't expect him to get that job anyway, but it's not looking good for him to be the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans next year. So I ask the question, regardless of who the coach is that steps into this building next year, whether that's Mike McCarthy or Matt Nagy or someone like that, or even someone newer like Joe Brady, is this next head coach already set up for failure? I mean, the front office has proven to be trigger happy. They are not afraid to make the most ridiculous move of all time, no matter the timing. And on top of that, I think you just from top to bottom have a horrible roster right now.
Yeah.
And I don't think free agency is going to take you from bottom of the barrel to contender. That's just not how it works. You're going to have a high draft pick. I would argue you're probably going to be investing in an edge rusher or a receiver in the first round. Yep. You're definitely going to have to draft a corner now high. You're going to have high draft picks, but still, that doesn't control the depth of your roster. And to be a successful team in the NFL, you've got to have depth. Look at the top teams. Kansas City has depth. Buffalo Bills have depth. The Ravens are struggling this year, and they're kind of resurging. Big win last night against the Dolphins, to no one's surprise. They have depth. The Titans have no depth whatsoever. Look at their cornerback room. Your best corner is Jalen Armour Davis and Marcus Harris. Not great. So, all that to say, if this continues and the roster construction continues, is this next Titans head coach already set up for failure?
I disagree. There's obviously some optimistic viewpoints of this team, especially with a new coach in the waiting at some point. You just got to look at it from the perspective of if the Titans, you know, offload a few players here and there, going into the offseason, they'll have roughly over $100 million, right, of cap room to use from. And you then have to go and sign players that are in that window of age, that age window of 26, 27, to 28, 29, like in that four-year window. And those guys have to just be on two-year deals or three-year deals. Just you're looking at guys coming off rookie deals. For me, if I'm constructing this roster, you look at those guys coming off those rookie deals and see if you can get a little bit of production out of them to help build the from the ground up. They're just a building block. They're not a core staple piece to this roster going forward. I mean, they may luck into being one of those guys, but at the same time, you can't look at it that way. You have to look at this from a small viewpoint, and that's just –
that's better. Okay.
There you go. I just look at this roster as not a obviously win now mode, but I told TD yesterday, I'm on to 2027. I don't want to sound like a negative Nelly where I'm all looking past 26. Sure, they may luck into winning four or five games next year, but that's still not going to win you a playoff game. So I'm still in the camp of looking at 27, acquiring draft capital after this season, I guess. Get some capital at the deadline if you can. And then after that, then go look forward to the offseason and see what you can build through the draft. And if you can get to 6 top 100 picks, that's great. If you don't, hopefully those top, I'd say 100 picks come in the 26 or 27 draft.
I actually tend to agree with you. I don't think they're immediately set up for failure as they walk into this new building, this new program.
Mm-hmm.
However, a lot is going to have to go right for them to be successful. You're going to have to hope that Chim DK and Cam Ward and Elik Iomanner and all your young guys take the next step into being those pieces of the future. You're going to have to hope Jeffrey Simmons, assuming he's not traded, which I don't think he will be, is still playing at a defensive player of the year level. You're going to have to hope that your front office makes the right decisions in the draft, bringing in pieces that you can build and some that are maybe even plug and play, some guys that you throw in and get immediate results out of at a young age. And you're also going to have to hope that in free agency, you know, you fill some of the holes. I understand the Titans have a lot of holes, and I don't think all of them are going to be filled this time next year. It's going to be a process to rebuild, and quite honestly, I don't trust this front office to get the job done as long as Amy Adams Strunk is in charge. However, the NFL is a league that is designed not for continuity. It's a league that's designed for the bottom of the barrel teams to be somewhat competitive the next year. Look at what's happened with the Cleveland Browns as of recently. Not right now, but a couple years ago.
Right.
They had the number one pick. They drafted Baker Mayfield. A couple years later, they were in the playoffs knocking off the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look at the Washington Commanders recently. They were a bottom of the barrel team. They draft Jaden Daniels. Last year, they make the NFC Championship. Now, I'm not going to say that's going to happen for the Titans because they are significantly worse of a roster than the Commanders were. But it is something to look at when you say this is the kind of league that you can suck one year and suck not as much the next year.
Right. You can turn things around in one offseason if you do things right. I think that the Titans have that trajectory right now because of the opportunity of financial gain they have coming up this offseason and the $100-plus million of cap room that they could potentially have. Now, you look at it from that, and then you say, you make a great point about Washington Commanders. You have core pieces like the other wide receiver.
Terry McLaurin.
Thank you. Terry McLaurin, and you go draft a young guy in Ben Sinnott, the tight end.
Yeah.
Well, currently, right now, they have Zach Ertz, another core pillar that those veteran guys that – you hoped that would have happened with the Titans when they grabbed their veteran guys to bring in, but it didn't work that way. So it's just more of throwing darts at the dartboard for the Titans right now. And if they can find those core pieces, and again, I think this is why everybody keeps pushing back on the whole Jeffrey Simmons opportunity of trading him, is because that is a core piece you can really have going forward, but at the same time, you're looking at a roster that's depleted to where you need something going forward, and that's draft capital. So yesterday when I talked to you about this, I was very indifferent about it. I was leaning more towards the trading option of Jeffrey Simmons because of what you can do with all those draft picks. If that is a – I call it the pressure price at the deadline, if there is a team that's willing to give up a first and maybe a third or something like that.
Yeah. On the Jeffrey Simmons front real quick, if you do trade him, you're probably trading him to a contender.
Right.
And if you get a first-round pick from a contender – it's probably high 20s to low 30s.
Right, and if I'm a front office guy, you grab that first-round pick.
And you repurpose it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You repurpose it to see if you can get something better in 27.
Yeah, I agree with you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you have thoughts on the Tennessee Titans. Is the next head coach already set up for failure as we are on Halloween? I can't believe we're talking about this in October of the NFL season. That doesn't end till mid-February, but here we are. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll continue the conversation. Get to some of your thoughts next. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. After you, you're gonna
solve that mystery. Oh, this song brings back so much memories of childhood.
Jason Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. The Monday night matchup is the Arizona Cardinals versus America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. Welcome back in. Next man up, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier in for Jake Lyman today, off in Paris, covering some Vanderbilt women's basketball. Stay tuned at 9:30 as Coach Darren Ambrose of Vanderbilt Women's Soccer will join us. They're having a great season, by the way. 13-3-1 on the year. Think, what were you telling me during the break, Frazier? They're hosting a playoff game coming up here soon?
I think so. What Max was telling me, I have to double check on that, but they have the SEC tournament November the 4th is what I see here on their schedule. So recently getting their big win over South Carolina, 1-0. South Carolina ranks 17th in the nation, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
They have about four top 25 wins. So, I mean, this team's clicking on all cylinders. So this is something to really look out for if you're in the Nashville area.
We will address a lot of that with Coach Ambrose coming up next. And I'm going to try my best not to say Dean Ambrose because that's a former WWE wrestler. But regardless, should be a fun conversation. We are currently discussing, is the next Titans head coach set up for failure immediately upon entry? And a lot of you have some very interesting thoughts, and I want to get to those on our text line, 615-737-1025, our text and phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is a very interesting text I'm going to read here for you, Frazier. 6641 says, set up for failure? No. Set up for success? No. Amy seems to love Brinker, and Brinker and Borgonzi will pick the new head coach and build something for him to work with for about 2 years. He'll get about 2 years to show progress and development. The new coach will have to earn any bit of success he finds by developing and progress the guys on the roster. So I don't think the next guy is set up to fail. I think he's set up to work his tail off and earn the right to stay. If he doesn't, the whole front office will be gone in another couple years. I think that's a very interesting point because it kind of points out that next season isn't entirely hinging on the head coach. And I don't think this season was entirely hinging on the head coach. The problem with this season is the head coach played too much of a role in losing these games. Mm-hmm. Brian Callahan's decision-making was an F-. It was awful. And that's not what you want to hear when you're trying to develop the number one overall pick at quarterback in Cam Ward. So I think the texter has a great point. This next coach is coming in to kind of stabilize things.
Sure.
That's why I think you need to hire someone with some experience, like Mike McCarthy or Matt Nagy, or I don't want to say it, but he has experience, Cliff Kingsbury. Mm-hmm. You need to bring in some guy that has experience in developing quarterbacks and playing with coaching top quarterbacks. I think Mike McCarthy is probably the perfect example of that. Maybe not the best coach of all time, but he's worked with Aaron Rodgers, who's a future first ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion. He's worked with Dak Prescott, who maybe not a Hall of Famer, but has had his moments as the starting quarterback in Dallas.
Strong winning pedigree.
Yeah. So I think it would make sense to bring someone in like that. And the texter has a point. You got to come in and expect to get this team level. I don't want to say make them a contender, because that may be realistic, knowing the owner and the front office. But you got to come in and make this team level coach for your job every single week, because we know how quick trigger Amy works.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the next head coach that comes in here, and again, I'm going to reference the TD because he made a lot of really good points yesterday about the Titans. Say the next head coach, we got under the standpoint of, you know, if this next head coach is a quarterback emphasized coach, is he going to be a leader for not just the quarterback, but for the team? And TD said it was, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, it's more through osmosis. It's Cam Ward emphasizing that leadership from the head coach. The head coach is obviously being the leader of men, but it's going through the franchise quarterback. If you can do that through the franchise quarterback, it exudes to the rest of the roster.
Yep.
And I think that's something you got to look at for the next head coach as well. Like if it's going to be I'm just going to use this for example. It's not Joe Brady, but say like a guy like Joe Brady, who is an offensive guru to some regard.
I'm about to tell you about Joe Brady here in a second.
Oh, yeah.
Because I am heavy on the Joe Brady train.
Really?
I am.
For the Titans?
Yep.
Interesting. We'll get into that in a second. I'm very intrigued about this now. I mean, you mentioned Mike McCarthy. The more and more I keep thinking about all the boxes that need to be checked, I'm sure a lot of Titans fans would sign up for 12-5 every year and make a deep playoff push. I mean, that's essentially the Pittsburgh Steelers in a roundabout way because, I mean, they somehow always have a winning record. Yeah, sorry about that. Winning record. They never seem to mess up in some aspects like that. They're always in the playoff contention, and I think that's what the Titans are looking for. And Mike McCarthy's a guy that checks those boxes. I think the other flip side to all this, when Arthur Smith's name is mentioned on it, is that he understands the front office. That's been the narrative that everyone keeps talking about, is he understands Amy Adams Strunk. He understands some of these coaches that are on the squad right now, essentially. So that's that fold of it. My only issue is, and I still am apprehensive about it, can he develop a quarterback? And I don't care if people still push back about that. Whatever the quarterback situation was in Atlanta, it was Desmond Ridder, Marcus Mariota. Like, I get all that. But then he lucked out, in my opinion, in Pittsburgh. I mean, he did make Justin Fields look good to some degree. But then you have Aaron Rodgers and everything's fine.
All right, let me tell you about Joe Brady real quick.
All right, let's hear it.
Chase and I have gone back and forth on this. Chase wants Mike McCarthy.
Okay.
Or Arthur Smith. Or someone that has experience. And I understand that argument because I would be okay with that too. My thing on Joe Brady is Brian Callahan what we thought he was? Look at Joe Brady's resume. Joe Brady was a key piece in developing Joe Burrow at LSU. He made Joe Burrow what Joe Burrow is today. Look at where he is now. He is at Buffalo. He is a key piece in developing Josh Allen. And creating an MVP-level quarterback. And you know what? You know why? Because he's calling plays. He's an offensive coordinator calling good plays and the kind of guy that you want to build your front office around, because I think he has that offensive mind. That's why I like Joe Brady. And I understand the argument that, well, you don't want a first-time head coach that claims to be an offensive guru calling plays. I understand that sentiment because you have battered Titan syndrome. To use a Vol term. However, I think that Joe Brady is different. And I would completely understand if they didn't hire him. This is just kind of my out-of-the-box thinking here. I think it would make sense for the timeline. I think it would help Cam Ward to have a guy that's developed MVP-caliber quarterbacks, maybe future Hall of Famers. And he's had some time. I mean, he was with the Patriots. He was with the Panthers. He was with... obviously, he's with the Bills now and then won a national championship at LSU. I think it would be beneficial for Cam Ward to have someone who is actually like that. Brian Callahan claimed to be like that, but looking back on Brian Callahan now, he claims to work with all these quarterbacks, and this is no slight to him, but how much did he actually help Peyton Manning? How much did he actually help Matthew Stafford? How much did he actually help Joe Burrow if he's not actually calling plays?
Got him in the right direction. I think sure. It's more on the player than it is the coach. I mean, I get your standpoint on Joe Brady. For me, you mentioned a team, and it's not an NFL team. It's LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, obviously, Chase mentioned yesterday about Peter Burns' Twitter account. He put out a tweet saying that something about the financial stipulations or whatever it is currently in college football, how it needs to be leveled out a little bit. If you're college football, if you're LSU, and you want to go hire a coach, go hire Joe Brady. Because personally to me, there's a little bit of proving ground he needs to prove. And I think if you did that in the SEC and probably the best caliber of college football right now, I'd go to LSU for that. And plus, I believe he's beloved at LSU, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that you win a national championship, people want you back. So I think that's the proving grounds for Joe Brady is to go back to LSU. That's just my personal opinion. But, I mean, if he is an option in the NFL for the Titans, sure. I mean, I mentioned it a few weeks back, but it wasn't a definite name for me. I mean, still kind of on the solid train. I mean, some people are kind of talking me off of it, but this is just – it's one of those situations where you're trying to find the next big thing, and Brian Callahan was not the next big thing.
No, Brock Lesnar's the next big thing. Let's go to our phone lines very quickly. And I mean quickly. Welcome in our friend Trey, who's got a thought on the Titans' next head coach. Hello, Trey.
Hey, how y'all doing, guys?
Doing good.
Hey, I just want to say, when they bring in the next coach, in the beginning, it'll probably be a failure because he's not going to have the components that he needs to, to start winning. Until he dismantles, what we have as far as a team, because frankly, guys, we got too many third stringers, practice squad players. We keep picking up practice squad players. Our elite players stay hurt all the time. Not all the time, but, it's going to be a challenge for him. But you know who I really like?
Who's that, Trey?
As far as coaching ability? Coach Lee. I love Coach Lee. And I love Coach Lee because of a simple fact. It seems like he has the demeanor to instruct people to play the way that they need to play in order to win. And I think if he can be good, yeah, the first year will probably be bad. But I think he has everything we need as far as progressing in the future. And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey. Yeah, interesting point there. And unfortunately, I don't have much time to react to it as we got to get going and get ready for Coach Darren Ambrose. But certainly make an interesting point there. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Titans throughout the show. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you got thoughts. But coming up next, Vanderbilt women's head soccer coach, Coach Darren Ambrose, will join Nick Frazier and I to talk about their successful season. That's all coming up next here on
Next Man Up with Jake Lyman. Your sports live here on 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans game at Nissan Stadium? Stop by JBJ's and pregame with 102.5 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Welcome back in. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you. And we welcome in The head women's soccer coach of Vanderbilt Soccer, Coach Darren Ambrose, joining us on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com to talk about their season. Coach, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate the opportunity.
Appreciate you coming on. It's going to be a blast to talk about you. So I want to talk about your season so far. You guys are off to a 13-3-1 season. Got some key top 25 victories this year. 8-0-1 at home. What's been the key to success for you guys this season?
I think the players themselves are a very tight-knit group, and I think there's a level of trust and belief in each other. I mean, you get past the athleticism and the technical ability of the team and the tactics. I think a lot of that exists in the SEC, but I think the X factor for us is this is a team that functions as an elite team, not just a group of individuals.
Agreed. Yeah, I think in watching you guys play a little bit on the SEC network, I think you guys are playing team ball, and that's probably the most important quality to have in a team. Speaking of qualities, when you're looking for key players to play in your starting lineup, what are the kind of qualities you look for in a Vanderbilt soccer player?
Awareness. There's a certain level of awareness, of time and space, technical ability as well. Composure. Honestly, the game is so fast that anyone who can slow the game down in their mind and you know, play without panic, you know, we want to play with the ball, not without it. So we want players that want the ball at their feet. And we've got a lot of them on the field, and when they play together like they do, that they're fun to watch.
On the line here is Darren Ambrose, Vanderbilt women's soccer coach. Coach Ambrose, just looking at this team overall, 4 top 25 wins this season, 10 clean sheets on the season as well. What's working well defensively for your side?
I think we defend with every player. Obviously, we've got the goalkeeper of the year, you know, in Sarah Wojelko. We've got a mature back line, but everybody on our team, whether you're a forward or not, everybody has to be committed to defending. And, you know, we like to defend actually with the ball, and we generally have more of the ball than the other team. You know, we dominate possession in most games. So our first line of defending is keeping the ball itself. And then the second part of that success, I think, is our ability that everybody on the field is committed to winning the ball back once we lose it.
How important has Sydney Watts been for your team this year, being the SEC Forward of the Year?
Yeah, she's been obviously critical. I think last year she had a great season, and that kind of maybe got lost a little bit with some of the other successes of our players. And you know, a couple obviously went on to pro careers this year, and maybe they took a little bit more of the light. But Sid scored 9 goals last year. And this year we knew we'd need more from her because we have a pretty young group around her. So her ability to manage that expectation and pressure and deliver what she has this year is and lead the SEC is full credit to her and her maturity. But she is she's somebody that gets a yard of space. She's probably going to get one on goal.
Coach Darren Ambrose of Vanderbilt Women's Soccer is with us. Coach, you've played a long, grueling season this year. Obviously, the SEC is a complete powerhouse when it comes to women's soccer. But you've kind of harped on your team's chemistry and how well they play together. Yep. How do you maintain that chemistry heading into the postseason?
I think, you know, as a coach, you really want the team to run itself at this point in the year, right? If as coaches we're still trying to finagle things and control things, I think then it's not going to go as well. So really, it's about trusting them now, right, and letting them. They're in control. They're steering the ship. We just got to make sure they get to the field on time and wear the right colors. You know, I think they've developed the relationships. We spend enough time together. I think all the work is done in the first 2 months of the season. And when you get to this part of the year, the players have to lead the team. And I think that's what we're finding, not just captains, but all the way through. We've got freshmen that aren't afraid to step up and speak their mind. We've got other seniors who are non-captains who are setting an example. And they're not afraid to call each other out. They're not afraid to demand more of each other. So at this point, to be honest with you, I think as a coach, it's more, can we stay out of their way and let them continue to do what they have started to do, in particular the last probably 6 weeks.
Last one for you here, Coach. You know, after that Tennessee game, a number four team that is probably one of the best in the nation, minus you guys as well, what did you learn from your squad in that, I guess, high-ranked matchup?
I think we learned that, one, they can manage pressure, and two, they can meet the moment. You know, we had a lot riding on it. It is a rivalry game. It's something that, you know, we know Tennessee are very, very good, but so are we. And, you know, our attitude in the last, you know, probably the second half of the season, and it's not really about who's on the other side of the field, whether it's Tennessee, Arkansas, you know, Missouri. It doesn't matter who we're playing. We really believe in ourselves, and in that game going into it, we knew that, same thing, is that if we can be who we are, then it doesn't matter right now what's going on the other side. So I think it did show, though, that they can manage expectation and that they can perform in front of, we had 1,700 people, pretty big crowd, nationally televised game, and they showed up. And they weren't intimidated by the environment or the opponent. And I think it showed that there's a competitive maturity to this group that has grown through the year, and it was nice to see that shown at the highest level in, you know, on national television.
Coach Darren Ambrose of Vanderbilt Women's Soccer. They play the postseason. The SEC tournament begins on Tuesday, November 4th. That's this coming Tuesday. Coach, appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us, and can't wait to see what you guys do down the stretch.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me.
Coach Darren Ambrose of Vanderbilt Women's Soccer. He was fun.
Yeah.
That went a lot better than I thought it would from my point, because I don't know too much about Vanderbilt Women's Soccer.
Well, I'll tell you right now, all you got to do is win. It makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, I have enough sports knowledge to know that if you win, good things are going to happen.
Indeed.
So it looks like Vanderbilt Women's Soccer is doing that. They've got, looking at their schedule and the box scores, they've got some very impressive victories over in the SEC, which is a grueling conference to play. Across all sports, but women's soccer, one of them. I have a friend of mine is a first-team All-American over at South Carolina. So
wow.
She's a beast. Anyways, appreciate Coach Ambrose for joining us. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts on anything, we will get to that coming up next. And also coming up next, it's spooky day. It's Halloween. It's time for me to come clean about an irrational fear I have to you. It's something that I'm embarrassed by, but this is an honest show. So we'll talk about it coming up next. Here on Next Man Up, Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game.
Chase and Big Joe lives here. Later today at noon, your sports live here on 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final.
See, I don't do horror movies, really, but this is one I can handle. These are good movies.
Well, we're getting ready to talk about your irrational fear, so what's more scary than Michael Myers?
Ashton Jeanty.
True.
Next man up here on 102.5 The Game, Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. The Commodores will take on Texas tomorrow. Pregame begins at 9:30 a.m. on 94.9 The Fan. Note that change because the Predators will be on 102.5 The Game. Kickoff at 11 a.m. Vanderbilt brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Again, welcome back in. Next man up, Connor Newton, Nick Frazier. Okay, it is Halloween. It is a day that I consider very overrated, and as a texter pointed out to me, and this is probably true, He says, I used to feel the same in college, and then I had kids, and now Halloween is back. So that'll probably be the same for me. If I have kids and they celebrate Halloween the way I did when I was a kid, then it'll be a good time.
Or you just never stop being a kid, and it's always great.
I do have the baby face, so I could keep rolling with that. So it's time for me to come clean about my embarrassing, irrational fear. So for the last 20 years or so, I have had a phobia of Halloween decorations. I don't like them. I can't go into Party City or Spirit Halloween or anything. It's not the decorations. It's the animatronic things that move.
Okay.
I don't like them because they, when I was maybe one or two, my mom took me into a Party City. I was in the shopping cart. She rolled over a cord and this mummy jumped out in front of me. And ever since then, it's been a phobia of mine. I can't do it. I don't like it. So that's ever since then, I can't do it. I don't
picture it now.
I don't go to haunted houses. I don't do that. Now, if I'm at an amusement park, that's different because I'm in a safe and secure place. But I don't like going to Spirit Halloween or Party City or even your local Target. I can't do it.
Interesting.
It's my irrational fear. So that's my story. It's embarrassing, but this is a safe space, and I expect to be torched on the text line. 615-737-1025 is the phone number.
Interesting. Yeah. I know more and more about you every day. I guess
I like it.
I know what I'm doing every day. I walk in the studio now.
So if one of you comes up behind me with like a mask, I will punch you in the face.
Okay. Well, you know how I feel now when people come up behind me and they just tap me on the shoulder. I get jump scared.
Or come up behind you with a megaphone.
Yeah, I get jump scared. It's all good.
It's my irrational fear. I've never liked it. I can't. I mean, I can walk around the neighborhood. There's a house in my neighborhood that has like 8 different ones.
Sure.
And I can see it because it's outside and it's an open air space. And I know it's not real. And look, I know none of them are real. But I just don't like it. It's like a phobia of mine. You know how people have claustrophobia or...
I don't like elevators. I'm claustrophobic and I don't like elevators.
I'm not afraid of a lot of things. I'm not afraid of heights. I love roller coasters, so I'll go on anything. I'll do anything.
Pass.
Yeah, I'll do anything there. When I went to St. Louis, we go on the Gateway Arch. You know, you look down at the top, you're overlooking the entire city. I think that's awesome. I'm not a big airplane guy, but that's an extreme fear of heights, but like minor heights I'm okay with. Halloween decorations is where we draw the line, apparently.
Interesting.
Just not a fan.
Maybe one day you get over the phobia. Maybe one day.
I still sleep with a blankie, so that's I'm just kidding.
I bet. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely not.
I'm just kidding.
Woo. Scared me for a second, Connor.
I'm still a man.
Sure.
I'm a man.
Yeah. To me, I don't want to get off the Halloween topic, but you know, we had some callers before Darren Ambrose called in talking about the Titans.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's a phobia. That's a big phobia for me.
Is a phobia that my team will never succeed, ever. My fear is I reached my peak when I was 8. In 2011, obviously, the Cardinals won the World Series.
Sure.
In 2012, Kentucky won the national championship. I fear I will never get back to that high.
It'll happen.
I doubt it.
If you just enjoy a new sport like me with NRL,
you'll find something new.
Yeah.
Why do you think I like wrestling? Fake sports.
You never know.
I wonder if they have the irrational fear of Halloween decor.
On the text line 3337, I took my little daughter to Party City the other day, and she stepped on every animatronic in the building.
Thank you.
So.
Yes. Thank you for flexing that your little daughter is not afraid of this stuff, and I am.
It's more like
when the
kids are smaller, I feel like they enjoy the loud noises and movements.
I didn't.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with me?
Well, for you, I think it was more the jump scare. You caught off guard. I think this was more of an anticipated thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't do scary movies either.
Interesting.
Like, okay, I can handle the stupid stuff. Sure. Like he just played Michael Myers coming back. I can handle that. Sure. Or Jason Voorhees or, you know, Freddy Krueger, all that stupid, Pennywise the Clown, whatever.
Yeah.
I do not do, like, the Conjuring stuff.
Yeah.
Possession stuff, because that's very
real. The stuff that's based on a true story.
Because that's very real. Yeah. That's very real to me.
Demonic feeling to it, for sure.
I don't like that.
Jeremy in Clarksville said, spider webs, not scared of spiders, but the webs freak me out.
Yeah, walking into one is a terrifying feeling.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Look, I like walking in the garden, and from time to time we get like one of the spiders that's in the garden that go from branch to branch, and you walk right through it. Yeah, I don't do well with that.
Yeah, no, I'm not afraid of bugs. I've never been afraid of spiders. I don't have arachnophobia, I think is what it's called, when you're afraid of spiders. I actually think spiders are cool. Now, if I saw like a brown recluse, I'd freak the hell out.
But poisonous, yeah.
Yeah, very poisonous. Don't very dangerous. Yep. Don't talk to them. But I don't know why. Halloween decorations, where I draw the line.
Interesting.
No, I'm not afraid of Christmas, if that's what you're thinking. I'm not afraid of Christmas trees.
I say, are you afraid of Santa Claus?
No. Oh. Santa's very real, by the way.
Okay.
For the kids out there.
Oh, Sam in the Borough says, being a Bills fan, I never wanted to lose a coach when things are good. No one does saying that I believe we need to see him, Joe Brady, as a head coach, a head coach position in college before we give him the keys to a pro NFL team. I think there would be a smart decision for all coordinators if possible. Titans need to shorten contracts. Head coaches, 2 years with incentives. If coach reaches expectations, sign a longer contract. If there is nothing less of a buyout. I'm all for that comment. I know we were talking Titans earlier. That caught my eye real fast.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
I mean, we can segue to the Titans for about 2 minutes.
I'm just when I see something, I go directly to it, so I apologize.
You're like a golden retriever.
Yeah. This is a spot-on take by Sam in the Borough, because I feel like two-year deals, you got to have prove-it deals, and unfortunately the reason why they don't work is primarily because everybody wants to be fat and happy. They want to have future security of their financial gain. It just doesn't work that way anymore, unfortunately. 2 years is the right sweet spot for a guy like Joe Brady.
I think I'm on board with that take, actually. I would like to see how Joe Brady plays out in college. Maybe he goes back to LSU. I don't know if he will, because he's kind of beloved there, and I don't know if he wants to taint his reputation. However,
well, he can't really taint it if he actually succeeds.
LSU, down in the Bayou, they're having some major, major problems. And we'll get into this more on the other side, but if you missed the news yesterday, LSU fired their athletic director. So now they are one of the few SEC universities without a school president.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have an athletic director anymore. And they don't have a head football coach. Things are not looking good in Baton Rouge right
Death
now.
Death Valley's looking
pretty dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Dead. There you go. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Real quick, Devin and Dixon. Making me feel a little bit better about myself. I absolutely do not, in all caps, do the Paranormal Activity or Conjuring type movies. No, no, no. Absolutely not. I stay away from those. They're very real to me. They're real. It has happened.
It has.
0374 says, hope you're not afraid of girls. No, I'm not. I'm doing rather well for myself.
It's unconfirmed. We have yet to confirm yet.
Unconfirmed. Well, sometimes when Parker throws on the dress after hours, I get a little bit scared. But that's not because of I think he's a girl. It's just a scary sight to see. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you got more takes to make fun of my irrational fear of Halloween decorations. But coming up next, it's time to get into the college football conversation. I want to talk a lot about the coaching carousel. These open jobs, LSU, we just kind of hit on a little bit, Florida, Penn State. What do all of these have in common? And there's a lot. But what sets them all apart as well? That's coming up next here on Next Man Up. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game.